Here and our guest here this morning, but I thought it was interesting. We are able to have the choir just really based on availability because they're traveling around the world and they're weaving in and out. And so this was the only spot on the calendar where we could schedule to get them in near this time. But I thought how fitting that they are coming right around the Thanksgiving season, the Thanksgiving holiday. And how many of y'all are looking forward to Thanksgiving come Thursday? Anyone in here preparing to do some major damage come Thursday and completely backslide on whatever diet you may have going forward? But anyway, biblically, there are days of fasting and there are days of feasting. And so we have a lot to be thankful for. So again, I just thought it was very, very fitting that the choir would be here during the season. So I'm going to take just about 10 minutes just to encourage us along that line during this Thanksgiving season. And if you have a Bible, go to Luke 17. If not, we'll throw this up for you on the screen. So we're just going to encourage us all to just really have our hearts in a grateful posture during this holiday time, because it'll go better with our soul and we'll have a fuller life to the degree that we're truly thankful and grateful. But a familiar story in Luke 17, starting in verse 11, it says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourself to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" So we're familiar with this story. Another text just to add to that in Psalm 77. I love the psalmist. Knew what it was like to be forlorn, to be downcast, but he also knew what it was like to fix his gaze upon the Lord and to exalt the Lord and to honor him. In Psalm 77, 11, he said, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord." Can we say that together? I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. One other translation in the Message by Eugene Peterson, that same text, it reads, "Once again, I'll go over what God has done. Lay out on the table the ancient wonders. I'll ponder the things you've accomplished and give a long, loving look at your acts." So this is all part of Thanksgiving as we're entering this season. And there is power in remembering. I know that sometimes as we're forlorn and we're tempted to be downcast, many times it's just basically an issue of going back and remembering what God has done to encourage our faith that he's going to be faithful still in the next season. And if we can reckon that he was faithful here, here, and here, as we've checked it off in our history, he's not going to all of a sudden turn his character and begin to be unfaithful here, here, and here going forward. And if he was faithful to Moses, he'll be faithful to you. If he was faithful to Abraham, I think maybe possibly he'll be faithful to you. If he was faithful to David, he'll be faithful to you. God is just faithful, but we have to remind ourselves, and thankfulness is a way to remind ourselves that God has been good. I will remember and reflect on how he has broken into my affairs time and time and time again, because we don't serve a God who's out in the distance and uninterested in our affairs. He's an intervening God, and he's very intimately acquainted with all of our ways, and he'll just flat bust up in our life uninvited at times. How about you? I didn't really ask when he began to bust up in my life. He just did it. because he's God. And he began to meddle in areas I never invited him to. And he began to challenge some areas, began to call me out, began to say, let's deal with that little area over there. And how about consecration and fully surrendering your life and your heart to me? These children have done that. So the beauty that you see upon them is not just the beauty of age, it's also the beauty of a lifted up heart that's been touched by God in a powerful way. How else in that setting, that pandemic of AIDS and poverty and being without parents, could they find that kind of joy? The Lord has touched them and has broken in. And I think this is why chronicling is so important and writing things down to remember Father's been good. Daddy's been good. As one man said, don't think it, ink it. Remember, oh yeah, God did do that. We prayed about that a month ago. God did come through. And we were believing for something that was horrific a year ago. But oh yeah, God in fact did come through. So as we remember, then it turns back to praise and thanksgiving. And a grateful heart will do us all good. Let me show you how this works here a little bit. Years ago, there was a lady who was very successful in the real estate business, who came into my home and wanted to meet with my mother, who was a fervent believer. And she walked in there and she said, Pat, I am miserable. And my mom said, wonderful. She said, what do you mean wonderful? She said, now God can start working in your life. You've hit a wall. You're looking for answers. You're coming up short. You're not finding it. But now the Lord Jesus is here and he wants to break in and make himself very real to you. And so, powerful story. But next, this lady and her family, they relocate from Wilson, North Carolina to Raleigh, North Carolina, right here in Raleigh, living on Millbrook Street. And then 30-something years ago, I was a bit of a rascal over at NC State, old fraternity boy, and I had a praying mom, so I didn't really have a chance. It was just a matter of time. I should have just thrown the towel in, but just sowing my wild oats. But this lady who relocated, she's having a Bible study. And so I go to this Bible study over on Millbrook, and there was a powerful guest speaker that was speaking at this Bible study. And after it was over with, I kind of slinked out. How many of y'all have ever kind of slinked out of a church service or a Bible? You know, it's kind of like this. It's, you know, you kind of put that finger up just, you know, like this. And I kind of just was slinking out and trying to find my way across the street. Well, he left the Bible study. I mean, just left the thing and went outside and said, hey, can I speak to you? And I'm like, and he called me back and he said, God's called you. And God is calling you. Have you ever been called to preach? And he began to basically just read my mail, blew me away. That was God's way of busting up into my world. See, I'm remembering the deeds of the Lord right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm remembering the deeds of the Lord. And so this guy, basically, he called me out. He gave me the word of the Lord. I thought, how did you know? Because I had been dealing with the call of God. God had been calling me to serve him, to bow the knee, and to obey him in places of obedience. But he flat called me out. And so the interesting thing is this same guy, 3 years earlier, in another state, found my wife. He called her out. At Georgia, the University of Georgia, in her sorority, he was preaching there. And it was in that setting that she got right with God as he began to challenge her about serving the Lord with all of her heart. You see, I'm remembering the deeds of the Lord right now. I'm remembering, I'm rethinking the story, you see, in my mind. Remembering the deeds of the Lord. He is a master designer. I mean, a master designer. One thing is amazingly predicated upon another. And I'm thankful that my mother, in the fall of the year 1958, walked down front at an altar call invitation to salvation at a Billy Graham crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so she had made a commitment to the Lord before I was even born in 61. And so a couple of weeks ago, I was at her home in Wilson, and I was rummaging through a drawer trying to find my birth certificate I needed for something. And I found this letter from Billy Graham and his organization, acknowledging the fact that she had come down at an altar call. I mean, it was, you know, kind of old, and the envelope was torn. I don't know if she knew it was in there. Well, I found that thing. Jane, maybe you can help me. And I found that. See, I'm remembering the deeds of the Lord. Are we here? And I found this letter, and I thought, I am going to frame that bad boy, so I'm going to show it to my mom at Christmas. But I found this thing is dated October 1958. And it says, Dear friend, we're happy that you came forward at one of the meetings to record your decision for Christ. We trust that your commitment to Christ at that time was definite and clear. Now we shall be praying God's richest blessings upon you as you go into your Christian life. There are many wonderful things for you to learn from the Bible concerning your relationship to the Savior. One is that the Lord Jesus has not only delivered you from the penalty of sin, but is also able to keep you day by day from the power of that sin. By the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, you'll be able to live a victorious and fruitful Christian life. It's my prayer that you'll be able to lay hold of the precious promises of His Word daily and grow as a Christian, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yours in the gospel, Billy Graham. I'm remembering the deeds of the Lord. And I'm thinking, there's got to be a master designer. This stuff is just amazing as you watch one thing predicated upon another. And I'm grateful for God's being willing to break in to our affairs uninvited. I can remember just a couple of years ago, I was at Firebirds and at the restaurant at North Hills, and out came from the corner Ann Graham Lotz. And if y'all are familiar with her, the Raleigh folk, she's the daughter of Billy Graham. And I walked up to her and I said, "Excuse me, Ann." I said, "I know you hear this all the time, but I just need to tell you that I'm a believer today. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I've been a missionary church planner who's been around the world, all because your daddy reached my mama. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank you for your father. And I want to thank you for his contribution to her life that found its way down into my life. I'm remembering the deeds of the Lord, and I'm finding gratefulness welling up in my heart. One other just quick moment here. There's even a man here today who used to live in this congregation right now. He used to live in New Bern. And when I was a minister at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, he asked me, "Would you possibly just check in on this girl that's a family friend of ours whose daughter's there in Spencer Dorm? Would you go and just check on her and follow her up and just minister to her?" And by the grace of God, we did. We took that to heart and went into Spencer Dorm, which is an all-girls dorm. They say, man on the hall. And we went and we found her and we began to minister to her. She came into the church a couple years later, married my brother. Go figure. The grace of God. The grace of God did this. See, I'm connecting the dots here. Therefore, I'm grateful. See, the healed leper in Luke 17 connected the dots, and he was grateful. And when we're grateful to God for what he's done, my speculation is he'll want to do some more. I'm thinking that when we're thankful to God and when we remember the deeds of the Lord, it'll motivate him to want to do something more. When we honor him, you see, in a right way. I know you have your story. Record it. Journal it. Remember it. If by chance you're here today and you don't feel like you have a story, I want to encourage you today, start one. Start one. You say, "I don't know that I have something like that." You can start today. Today can be the first day for the rest of our lives. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Just tracing the hand of the Lord, weaving together the events of our lives is a remarkable thing to behold. He is sovereign, and when we trust him, the tapestry of our lives is woven together in such a way. So I want to leave us with this thought coming up on Thanksgiving. There is power in remembering. There is power in tracing the hand of the Lord. And there is power like the one leper who thus has the frame of mind to be thankful, to be grateful. You may think I've been through some stuff. You don't know what I've been through. Yeah, but you're here. And actually, you're looking mighty fine this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're looking mighty fine, I think, you know, according in my opinion, looking mighty good. So I know things can be tough. I know things can be, but you're here today and you made it here. And I just want to encourage you, in order to have a proper theology of the future, remember what God has done. He's brought you this far. And as we park and as we build an altar unto the Lord, and as we allow a spirit of thankfulness to touch us in a powerful way, I think it's setting ourselves up for more of the grace of God, more of His bounty, more of His goodness. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You coming into this Thanksgiving season. Lord, that You're an amazing, sovereign God who's involved in the affairs of men and women. You're intimately involved in our ways. Lord, before we knew You, You were involved. You were speaking to us, even convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Lord, when we bowed our knee to You, You came in to live within us. It's an amazing thing that You'd make our home in the human spirit. We thank You for that. But Lord, we thank You for Your persistent striving. And we can think time and time again where You've been good here, here, and here. And we just declare today, You've been a good God. You've been a good Father. And we just erase any wrong concepts of Your character today. And we just pray that we might grow with a full head of steam of gratefulness and thankfulness. Thank You, You've brought us thus far. And Lord, for those who feel like I don't have a story yet, I pray for the courage to start today. The courage to start now, Father, to surrender to You, to watch You work and take a life and turn it into something extraordinary. Lord, I pray, begin today for those that need it. And for those here that don't know You, may they just right now in their heart say, I want a story. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. I want to begin afresh today in the grace of God. Do a miracle in me just like You did for that leper. I pray in the name of the Lord.